Okay, we're re-adjourning our meeting for tonight. Planning Commission, regular meeting, July 15th, 2010. And one thing I want to ask is, we do have people signed up for public comment. Is anyone signed up to talk about the discussion we just had about condensing the minutes? Does anyone want to discuss or have a comment about the discussion we just had about condensing the minutes? Okay. So we can move forward to town center discussion.
Ready for the staff report?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, staff report.
Well, again, Joe Tovar, planning director for the city. I apologize for being late getting here. Surprised you flew through the agenda the way you did, but what you've been sent for the study meeting tonight is a draft of the Shoreline Town Center Sebaria Plan. Well, as you know, this has been on your work program for quite a while now. The first framework policies were placed on the commission's agenda and then adopted by the council over two years ago. And those framework policies basically established this as a priority for the city, established the scope of the study area, gave some guidance on the importance of things like Midvale and the park area between Midvale and the Aurora project, said that the Aurora project final design, which was being finaled at that time, 2 years ago for the middle mile, will be taken as a given. So we're not talking about any changes to what's actually being built out there right now. It is what it is, what it is. So what we did in putting this together was to go to the town center vision statement that the commission worked on and the full commission discussed, and this is still the working draft that starts on page 2. So what the staff tried to do with this version was to start with some bullets, kind of give a real brief overview of the context for the town center in terms of history, in terms of the region and the city. Your vision statement, the latest draft of it, then is on pages 2 and 3. And then what we tried to do was to compose goals and policies that we extracted, distilled, pulled out of what you had said in your vision statement, as well as things that had been said either in the framework policies or in prior comments from the public at the charrettes or the workshops or the surveys or other resource documents like the strategies, Central Shoreline Sebaria Plan from a number of years ago. So there's an awful lot of input that you've been processing and reviewing and commenting on over the past couple of years. We spoke with a commission a month ago, I believe it was, with review of the design standards, design process. You reviewed the concept map for the town center, the urban design concept map. And all those things were very useful also in figuring out what kinds of policy statements might you want to make here in the Sebaria plan. So what I wanted to do tonight at this study meeting was to go over this draft, explain it to you, answer questions about where it came from, what it purports to try to do. This is not a hearing, so although you can listen to the public, and we want to listen to what you have to say, you're not here to vote up or down on the content of the Sebaria plan. I think you can ask questions of clarification. I think you can say, I might take some convincing on this, or you might ask for more data or more research to be done between now and the fall. But you might think of this really as sort of a scoping. Are we on the right track? Are we really reading your vision statement to be fleshed out in these kinds of policy statements and goals? The other thing that's a little bit new in this draft on page 4 is this diagram of the principles of sustainability. This is a version. There are many different versions out there. There are different words that people use to describe social progress or social equity, environmental responsibility or environmental stewardship. There are different words you could plug into these different segments of this diagram. And in fact, you do use different words in the vision statement. So you might want to think about what words do you want to choose to illustrate the connection of these principles to sustainability. But I think the core concept of there are three different pieces. When you look at sustainability, environmental is one of them, but there are these two other pieces. And I guess finally, what I wanted to say is that the vision statement that you crafted, you pointed out, is a work in progress and that you'll be reviewing it as you work through the rest of the Sebaria plan. And either tonight or the next draft of this, if you have other suggestions you want to make to supplement or revise the vision statement, I think that's still something you can do that's still in play. The public has, again, not formally commented on this, what you've seen tonight. There's not been a hearing. So, again, I would characterize this as sort of a check-in with you. Are we on the right track in trying to draw out of your vision statement goals and policies? And are there any other pieces that are missing that you think we need to think about composing some policies or some other refinements? One thing we do know that you have asked for, and we have had time to respond to that, is the figure 6 on page 7, the urban design concept plan. The Planning Commission previously said, well, maybe there's some other pieces of information that could be reflected on that kind of a graphic to tie back better to the vision statement. We haven't really taken this beyond what you saw last time, so more work can be done on that. And what we would propose is, again, tonight, you ask questions of clarification, tell us if there are things we need to also be looking at, if we're on the right track or not, if you want to express skepticism or open-minded support for some of these policy statements. I think that's okay, but I think I want to stop you short of saying we approve of this, because this is not a process where you're ready yet to start approving the language. After you hear from the from me, I'm just about done. You know, you can hear from the public what they have to say about this. We'll take any other input we have from you, questions you want to ask of us, and then we propose to come back in the fall, probably in September, with another iteration of this at a hearing, together with a draft of zoning that is based on what this says, and take comment on that as well. We had a meeting today with other city staff to talk about the environmental document that we're preparing to accompany this through the hearing process this fall. Some of that work is underway, but really to write the EIS, you need to know what the proposed action is. So that's why it was important to get this part kind of formed up a little bit to see, well, what are the policies going to look like, to then know what might the zoning look like, to then know what are the impacts that we're evaluating in that EIS. So that's a real quick overview of what this is, where we are in time, and what happens next tonight as well as this fall. We see hearings on all this taking place through the fall, hopefully with the EIS being completed, the hearings being held, and you all having deliberation on the Sub-area plan and the implementing zoning this fall, with a recommendation to council hopefully before the end of the year, and then action by the council either late this year or in the first quarter of next year. So I'll stop at that point and see if you have to if you have any questions you want to ask at this point, or if you're ready to listen to comments from public. Anybody?
Yeah, and going through the policies listed here, 23 policies, the one thing that I don't see, and this is, I assume that these policies are based on not only input from us and the goals and the vision statement, but also the review or the workshops that we had going through building types, et cetera. So, and one of the building types that got quite a bit of support was the living building sort of concept. And I don't really see a building here that, or I mean a policy that speaks to buildings that embody environmental services, if you will, which is really the crux of the living building sort of concept. Buildings that manage water on site, reduce energy demands, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't see anything in any of these policies that speak to that.
Okay.
Commissioner Masselman?
One thing I was wondering about too, let's see, in policy 3 or town center policy 3, we talk about opportunities for moderate cost housing, and then there's also talk about housing in number 7. But I wonder, just to enhance that, if it should just go a little bit further and talk about diverse housing, or as far as I guess what I'm trying to say is that housing for families are getting smaller, aging population, diversity of ages and cultural backgrounds, you know, maybe just enhancing that just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So that we could do that fairly easily in TC3 with some additional language.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about different populations, not just different kinds of housing.
Right, yeah. Acknowledging the, right. The people.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And I just had a question sort of about policy 11, mm-hmm. where it's it says identify town center architectural patterns, and I won't read it all, but I'm just wondering, in some ways that's it's more of about that reads as something that you would do, and then the policy would be what those those forms and those materials and everything. You know what I mean? It's saying that this will be done, but then it's not giving any substance to it, which is different than some of the other policies, you know, that are more these are actions that we want to see in the, like, reduce noise or provide amenities, provide signs. You know, this is saying that this is something that ultimately we will identify these type of. And I'm just wondering about that.
Maybe it would be clearer if we move TC11 so that it's down closer to TC20, which is where we talk about this is policy direction to come back with regulations that deal with standards and design review process, codes, illustrated design standards, and menus. That really was what I think I had in mind, trying to suggest. As I said in the staff report, we've given you some thumbnail pictures of some of this stuff that we thought were pretty illustrative, but not of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, these aren't the only kinds of architectural patterns that might get reflected in design standards. You know, we could have had photographs of different kinds of materials or different kinds of window and door treatments, mm-hmm. that, you know, that are already here as material to consider when you look at the standards you want to recommend. So I think if we move TC11 back to before or after TC20, it makes clear we're saying before you come up with standards, you should look at what's here now. And to decide what's here now do you want to try to emulate in standards on menu that you would suggest people consider in terms of materials or shapes or.
Yeah, and I think that might help somewhat. I'm just thinking that it gives the impression that this is a lot of these decisions are going to be made, you know, after the subarea plan and not through the subarea plan or during the subarea plan. And whether that's correct or not, it gives that, you know, and.
No, it's a really good question. If we just move TC11 back to TC20, mm-hmm. we might need to say more. Really what we're hoping to do is to have the identification of these features to inform what the standard should be.
Okay.
That was my intent.
And through a public process. I mean, it's mention maybe whatever the input mm-hmm. would be for that, I guess, possibly.
Okay.
Yeah, Commissioner Behrens.
So as I understand it, TC11 is current, what we have currently here now?
Well, no, this is what we have that, if you look at these all have some kind of slope roofs at different pitches. There are a lot of flat roof buildings here, too. I mean, we're in one right now.
Yeah, I know.
So a more thorough discussion of all those things will be part of the design standards discussion you'll have with makers when they come back and talk about what should these standards be, what do you want to encourage people to do?
I guess the question I'm asking you here is that policy T11 identifies current town center architectural patterns,
mm-hmm.
and then TC20 or 21 would be talking about the architectural patterns that would exist as a result of the development?
20 or 21?
20 or 21, both.
Well, 20 was trying to get to, again, this the word context appears in both places because we were trying to suggest part of what creates place and uniqueness and identity of place is, to some extent, the context, what's here already. Now, it's not all the same. There are buildings that look very different one from the other, even within a subarea. They have different functions, different ages, different shapes. So what we were trying to suggest here was that when you do the design standards to implement these policy statements, you'll be looking at what are the features of architecture that you want to illustrate with design standards to suggest this is what we want to see so that we have buildings that are built that are context sensitive and appropriate, that don't look like they could have been built 5 miles down the road or 8 miles up the road or in some other state, but have some kind of reflection of this part of shoreline.
I'm just suggesting that you put the word on TC11,
mm-hmm.
if what we're talking about is the current existing buildings, that would identify current, use the word current.
Okay, current town center patterns.
And if I might add something, I'm not sure Joe made clear that when actually you see this for the public hearing, it's going to be the subarea plan and the regulations together. So that at that point, you'll know, A, how they tie together, and then B, if you want to change any language to reflect mm-hmm. what's happening.
I was just trying to clarify the point of the two different things. Is one is to look at current stuff, the other is to look at...
Is to write regulations to implement the current stuff.
I mean, right. And I think your intention here is to look at what's here and try and use what's here, what's good, what's bad, make decisions.
Just try to pay attention to context. Now,
not
everything that's here is a LEED Gold building. There's only one LEED Gold building in the whole town center, this one.
I got you.
But so we're not saying...
Tear it down.
Yeah, don't have any more LEED Gold buildings. We're trying to suggest there are some things that aren't here mm-hmm. that perhaps we would like to see here. And the design standards that you see that will be illustrated, that will come back as a companion to this, hopefully will show some of those things. Some of the courtyards, some of the plazas that you talked about that are reflected in the vision statement, that there's not a lot of that here right now. Well, there's some right there, but but lots of other places don't have those kinds of features. We might want to encourage more of that.
Commissioner Esselin?
So maybe we want to say current context instead of referring to the context and not the architectural patterns, because I think we want to probably, you know, go beyond what we have now. But what is our context of shoreline? Maybe more on a broader term? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, as an architect, you know that the subject of context and regional specificity can be an endless debate.
Right.
I don't know that I would want to try to define a city of shoreline-wide architectural pattern or context. I think it's the smaller the area you are dealing with, the less challenging it becomes, because here we've got buildings of different heights, different shapes, different uses. But just with these illustrations I've given you with these thumbnails, there are a fair number of pitched roofs of different shapes and sizes and grades. So it's looking for some commonality that starts to suggest this is a place-specific pattern. And again, this is not the same as a theme. I'm not talking about a theme like a Western theme or a Bavarian theme or a Little Italy theme.
not
looking for a theme. We're looking for human scale. We're looking for visual interest.
Right.
We're looking
diversity
for something that represents some diversity of the uses. So it won't be just commercial. We'll also have a commercial and a civic and hopefully then also a residential component to it.
Joe, it looked like you were starting to respond to the comment I made. I'm just wondering if you had a comment that you wanted to make or a thought that you wanted to add to the point that I raised.
You were talking about speaking to buildings, I think, and site plans that deal with reduced energy demand, water demand, talk about living buildings explicitly.
Well, I think the term that I used was buildings that embody environmental services. I think that's a good way to talk about it, that are reduced, their footprint is reduced upon the landscape. They manage their own stormwater on site. They produce their own energy. I mean, not all buildings are going to be able to do that fully, but it seems like that's a good policy to shoot for.
Well, back in the vision statement on page 3, under environmental quality, you have some language, I think, that moves in that direction and talks about, the second sentence, the buildings themselves are state-of-the-art, energy-efficient, and sustainable structures with zero carbon impact. Is that getting at the kind of thing you think?
Well, that's getting at it, but my concern was there wasn't really a policy statement that spoke to that. That's we talk about, when you look at your illustration on page 4, environmental responsibility is one of the three circles, or environment is one of the three circles. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see something in the policy statements that further addresses that in a more specific way, I guess.
Okay, I think what we could do is to take that part of that environmental quality language in the vision statement and cast it as a policy statement or two and see what you think of that. If there's anything else in the vision statement that you think doesn't get picked up somewhere in some policy, that'd be good to hear about too.
And we could be providing this input after this through PlanCom too.
Yes. So we'd like to hear it from you. We'd like to hear it from the public. We're going to be, getting the word out on this, noting it on our Facebook page, on our city webpage. We have an email list. We're going to invite people to look at this and give us some thoughts about, is there anything else that's missing either in the vision statement or in the vision policies?
What's the expected timeline on this being moving forward to the city council?
Well,
ballpark.
The whole thing, we thought we want to have the whole thing brought back to you so you can see the zoning that would go along with this policy at the same time this September.
October, actually.
Or October. The environmental document probably won't be ready until closer to November. There's a lot of work to be done on that. I think we could start hearings before we finish the environmental document, but we don't want to close the hearings before we finish the environmental document. So this fall, fallish.
Okay.
So anything people want to tell us as a staff that would help us in making sure that the plan piece is a more advanced version of this, they can email us that anytime between now and the end of August.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think we have several folks signed up for public comment on this matter, but if anyone else who hasn't signed up wants to, then please just come forward. And so do we need to get the signature or we can just, I'll just start and then. So, Jan Stewart is first.
Hello, my name is Jan Stewart. I live in Shoreline. And in the materials staff prepared for this evening, I appreciated seeing things like the integration with economic development and other strategies, the historical context, the vision of a cultural heart in the city, citizens proud of an inviting place that exemplifies the best of Shoreline past, present, and future. This sounds really great, but I'm afraid the vision created may end up being nothing more than fantasy, given that the school district now, once again, plans to eliminate the museum, which basically undermines and diminishes the potential for the town center. It's an unbelievably bad idea to allow the building's interior to be disfigured, essentially leaving a facade in order for the school to use it. Experiencing the building fully preserved as the historical museum for our city and region is what gives it such value to the town center. Think heritage tourism. And I have an attachment that I'll leave with you about that. Policy should reflect the values. So the Planning Commission, I think, really needs to be clear as to whether you still support the vision given the current circumstances. If you don't, you should just strike out the feel-good language in the vision, the historical context, and eliminate altogether any reference to historical landmarks in policy TC-19. Nobody will care to seek out a remnant of the red brick road somewhere under a car in a parking lot. As part of the Planning Commission's responsibility in establishing priorities for the town center subarea, you have it in your power to hold a public hearing on the museum issue as you deem necessary. There's a lot you can do, but at the least, I urge you to speak out forcefully to help save the museum in the Ronald School building in the town center and direct staff to look for any and all solutions. Otherwise, the history you are writing for Shoreline will simply be that we used to have a great museum in a historical landmark building right in our town center, but we just didn't care enough about it to fight to keep it. We will have lost the most valuable link to our past and some important opportunities for future economic growth. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? Vicki Westberg.
Good evening, Vicki Westberg, Shoreline. I am here as one of the many supporters of the Shoreline Historical Museum and feel it should be an essential component of the town center design. The Ronald Schoolhouse, the archives, the functions of the museum are our connection with the history of this area, which eventually became the city of Shoreline. How much more pertinent could that be to a central location? Instead of minimizing the museum, as the school district would have us do, we should maximize its potential as a tourist destination. The fate of the museum should not be left in the hands of the school district. Their heart is not in it. It is up to you and others who can see ahead to the inherent possibilities of this situation. You have the museum, which is the past, the beautiful City Hall, which is the now, and the new Shoreline High School as the future. Think of it, with this kind of triangle, we have the strong and unique cornerstone of a tourism business here. In one stop, they can visit the past, the present, and the future, and appropriately so, because after all, aren't they all tied together? Thank you.
Victoria Stiles.
Hi, I'm Victoria Stiles. You can call me Vicky, and I live at the Shoreline Historical Museum. The Shoreline Historical Museum has been at the center of the community for 35 years, and before that, our building for nearly 100 years. It is very gratifying now, as a touchstone for the community's history, to be a part of the general sense of community pride that we see growing here in the 15-year-old city of Shoreline. A number of the bullet points that outline the plans for the city's town center seem to me to be right out of the many exhibits and historical documents that we've produced, emphasizing our sense of place and purpose and illuminating how we got to be where we are today. I'm personally proud of you and of the City of Shoreline for keeping a clear vision of where we're going by using the map of where we've been. The museum will continue to be a part of your vision, a part of the city's growth and development, and of course, a part of that sense of place and a sense of community heritage that keeps us all grounded and feeling as if we have real roots here. Besides our attraction as a non-traditional educational resource, we have long been a destination for tourism. It's a well-known fact that heritage tourism in the United States has grown by leaps and bounds over the last 10 years, and Shoreline does not have to be an exception to that. You can expect your museum to be right there with you, helping to make our community even more attractive to visitors and newcomers. We're already at the forefront of tourism here, and we're firmly committed to doing our part. As a major component of the town center and purveyor of heritage tourism, we will help bring aspects of our area's history, the car culture, the interurban, and our cultural diversity front and center. Thank you.
Did you want to ask?
Yeah, Vicki.
Yes.
I would have asked this of the other speakers, but you're the person that lives there. So while I totally support, you know, the museum and its ongoing continuation as a historic site and as a museum, I'm not clear as to what we as a body can do to mitigate that. I mean, the property, it's on the property and it belongs to the school district, and they are the purveyors of what happens there. And I'm not clear, and maybe you can enlighten me as to what the Planning Commission and or City Council can do to mitigate or to deal with another body that we have no control over.
Well, I'm probably not able to say everything that I would like to say here. But the museum owns the building and holds a quit claim deed to the building. So there's lots of creative solutions to this challenge. And I think part of it is convincing the major players that there can be some creative solutions to that. So rather than go into a whole lot of detail, like I said, that I'm probably really not allowed to say here, but I'm happy to talk to anybody about some of the solutions that have been suggested. And I think, you know, if we all work together, that there can be a good solution to this. So we just hope that people will be behind keeping the museum at the town center and really being part of this vision.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Behrens.
I guess I'd like to start by saying thank you. I know when I go through the community here and I have contact with people, I'm always amazed at how aware they are of the museum. I work as a volunteer through the community center and the senior citizens. It's a part of where they came from, and I think you're doing a wonderful service to the whole city. So I don't have anything other to say than if we lose this, we're losing something that is really a part of what the whole city is. And I am hopeful that your approach of looking for creative answers and solutions is one that bears fruit. It would be a horrible thing for us to lose the museum.
Thank you, Commissioner Behrens. I appreciate that. I and our board are working very, very hard to come up with an answer to this. So my every waking moment and some of my sleeping moments are spent on this. So thank you.
I didn't come with prepared remarks.
Could you state your name?
I'm Jack Carney. I'm a resident on this side, and my kids and grandkids live on the other side, so I experience this trying to be a pedestrian zone support very much. And also want to compliment the work Mr. Tovar and the city staff have done. As these documents evolve, they get better. I'm not prepared. I can't meet the time commitment, so all I can do is do the bullet points and perhaps send an email or something later. The first one has to do with, in the vision statement, third paragraph, dealing with transitions, third and fourth paragraphs, the transitions and the heights and the setbacks. What isn't represented there is density, and that at the neighborhood hearings, that was a very major issue. Is you know, the heights are okay by themselves, but to not have a discussion of density, and everybody sort of has an assumption of what those densities will be, but three stories that's solid edge to edge building is not what people think of when they think of a transition area. Along with that would go tree cover in the town center. We've got bald eagles now living in the area right along Aurora here, and so we, would hope to, keep that kind of environmental quality here. And then likewise, view and light corridors so that the residents are not looking at a three-story step back to a five-story, step back to a six-story wall with no light and whatnot. The second major point is for pedestrian-oriented. There's text in there that talks about it being pedestrian-oriented for people who live next to it as well. And that for that to work, there needs to be pedestrian access across 175th as well as Aurora. And you mentioned the school as part of what is, a civic center that's part of town center. As the school redevelops, hopefully they will be pedestrian-oriented and students will walk to school instead of driving. A major piece to that would be to have a pedestrian crossing on Aurora at the north boundary of the school district property, which would then open up the trail for pedestrian access to the school and hopefully help all of us out with the car traffic through the neighborhoods that the school itself generates. And I can finish up with some email or whatnot, but that is a quick summary.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Right now, Commissioner Behrens, you have a question.
Mr. Tovar, in our I miss this gentleman's name.
Mr. Carney.
Mr. Carney, I think he's raised a really important point here. You know, a part of the environmental quality statement that we have for the town vision statement, the center's extensive tree canopy and native vegetation, all part of a strategic system. And it's one of the elements that Mr. Carney mentioned here. Our current tree code, as we are working on it, does not require any kind of retention or trees in the type of setting that we're looking at. Is there a way, as we work on the town center project, that we can do something to actually enable the environmental vision that's in here to create trees in some sort of way, or at least maybe try and save some of the ones that are currently here?
Well, I think what you're saying, Mr. Behrens, is you're acknowledging that the code, even now, has no tree retention requirements in commercial areas.
Yes.
The tree code amendments that are working their way through the process right now likewise don't talk about trees in commercial property. I think it is appropriate, given that you do mention it in the draft vision statement you came up with, that we compose some kind of a policy statement to pick that up, talk about some kind of tree retention, tree canopy, tree cover policy. Now, what that is exactly, I'm not quite sure, but I think you have an opportunity with Town Center to talk about what you want to say about trees here, independent from whatever the tree regulation exercise comes up with, because that doesn't talk about Town Center. So, yeah, it's something you can include. We can take a stab at it. If you have suggestions, you want to email to us, or Mr. Carney or anyone else wants to give us some thoughts about what we should say as a matter of policy about trees. And then when we're writing the regulations for Town Center, what should we say there about trees in terms of either regulations that require retention that may be different than what is in the tree regs for non-commercial areas? Maybe there are incentives that we could create to retain larger trees or other kinds of vegetation that already exist. A lot of the properties that are here right now are very much building and parking lot intensive. So I don't think retention is the only thing we should be talking about. Restoration of some kind might also be another concept we should capture the policy statement, and then we get to the regulations. You could look at what do you want to say about tree retention or restoration. Not just trees, vegetation. Again, this comes back to some of the points that Commissioner Broyley had earlier about natural systems, environmental sustainability being reflected more in the policy statements as well as in the regulations. I think you hit the nail on the head.
I think that would be a wonderful addition to the, if we could come up with something.
We'll queue up something. The specifics you're going to have to think about, you know, what you think. And maybe we can come up with a range of ideas for you to consider when we come back with regulations.
In particular, when we look at code, mm-hmm. in terms of what we're going to require for setbacks and the development process, I think your idea of offering incentives is something that might, you know, we're talking about 20 or 30 years into the future. And, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, there are cities that had no trees in them at all. Or 20 or 30 years ago, mm-hmm. there are cities in the middle of the Midwest that had no trees in them at all and are now very heavily forested, and it's because of a commitment that was made to put trees in there. So, I think your idea of offering incentives or coming up with some sort of a plan and looking at it as part of the code is a really good idea.
We'll come up with some ideas to put forward for you and then give you some choice about which way you might want to go. I think it's important for us to remember that there's going to be some trade-off, though, between how much of a commercial area can we really give over to non-floor area for commercial or other uses. But I think right now we have kind of an extreme that there's no tree retention required at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that caveat, we can bring back some things for you to consider.
Go ahead. State your name and where you live.
Lisa Surowick. I live in Shoreline. I'm the co-chair of the Richmond Highlands Neighborhood Association. First, I'd like to say that this whole process has been really fun, especially the charrette where we got to paste pictures on maps and things like that. And I have to say that some of the things that my neighbors thought were a good idea, I thought were a terrible idea until they got really excited about it. Like, actually, water feature sounds fabulous now. And it was really a fun process, and I really like the way this is coming out. So we have three projects in Richmond Highlands right now that are all kind of interconnected, and one is the museum, one is Shorewood, and the other is Sunset Park. And they all kind of, like one of those puzzles that you move the numbers around and to try to get the number in the right place. The museum was supposed to move into Sunset and be housed there while the building got moved, and then we could take the Sunset building down, and all the energy that went into that planning process would come to fruition, and that momentum would keep going. The building would have been moved, and then Shorewood could get built, and everybody was going to be happy. And I understand now that the parcel that they were going to buy fell through, and so all of a sudden I have neighbors calling saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to the park? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen to the matching funds that that Shorewood's supposed to apply for? It's $17 million at stake, and I guess that is due on June 30th. So the question about what the Planning Commission can do, if the district really needs to have all that land underneath the building, but they're willing to move it, perhaps someone on the Planning Commission has an idea somewhere still in town center where that could go, and everything could still, the matching grant could be submitted on time, Sunset Park could still happen with all the energy still going, the museum could have its anniversary celebration in the building that it wants to be in. So that's what I would ask. If you have ideas as far as that goes, that's where I would ask that you look. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Janet Way. I live in Shoreline. And I don't have anything prepared. I did get a copy of this document that you're working from, and so I think there's some good ingredients here, and I was particularly pleased to see this page 6 that has the picture of the museum, and it has the picture of the Red Brick Road, and then quite a few of the other elements that are included are positive. So what I wanted to say is that Commissioner Broiley and Behrens asked, what can we do, since, you know, the theory is that, well, this is in the school district's hand. Well, it's not just in the school district's hand. The school district does not own the museum. The community owns the museum. The museum board owns the museum. And it's not only Shoreline, but it's Lake Forest Park. So, in effect, the museum belongs to all of us. And so if the Planning Commission and the council and the community express their intent as part of this plan, that as we did in the vision, in the comprehensive plan, the museum is in the vision, the museum and Ronald School, then I think that really makes a difference. So if you believe that the museum is important and that it is important in the Ronald School as part of our town center, as part of our culture, then you can make a big difference by making sure that it's stated in this plan. As it says here, goal TC2, create a sense of place. And to me, the sense of place is really envisioned in the museum. When Shoreline first became was started to be created by the pioneers, if I could just finish, back in, you know, the early 1900s, late 1800s, it was coincided with the development of the automobile. The automobile is what created Aurora Avenue, which is right here, and what brings, you know, all the parts of Shoreline together. Like it or not, it's the automobile. So the development of the car and the businesses along Aurora that were created, the retail businesses, to service people that got there via their automobile and the interurban originally. It's all a part of our culture that is actually represented at the museum. There's a Model T automobile in the basement of the museum. So it's part of our tourist, our economic development strategy can be the museum, heritage tourism. It's all kind of one, and I hope that you can express that. And I'll send you some more comments more formally. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone else want to comment? No. Any? Okay. I think we're on to, well, director's report. I think we've skipped.
You ready for that? Well, vis-a-vis town center, I think we made mention to you before that the city has put out a request for qualifications for consultants to help us design the green space that's over here that has been referred to in the past as Heritage Park, as Interurban Park, as the big green space over there. What we came up with as a working title for the RFQ proposal we put out was the park at town center, because everybody pretty much agrees it's a park and it's in what we're calling town center. But that's not the final name. That's just a working title for that green space over there. We're ready to retain a consultant. We had a RFQ process. We've interviewed a number of them. There were some very excellent submittals from firms to do the work. So we're going to be retaining one of them, and we will be initiating a design process with a lot of public outreach, public involvement. We'd like to figure out how to get the Planning Commission, perhaps, and the Park Board together involved in some of that input to that design process, and have that process be taking place this fall on a parallel track with the work you're going to be doing on Town Center. So there's a relationship between those two things, the park being kind of the donut hole and the sub-area plan around it being the donut. These two things have some synergy, some relationship between the two of them, so we want to be able to have you sort of be immersed in both those topics, obviously more in the sub-area plan and zoning, but we didn't want to have you operating sort of in a vacuum of not knowing or giving your opinions about what we might want to think about going on as part of the park design. And likewise, we want the public to be able to see and take part in both these discussions. They are related, but they are different. And in fact, the precedent for talking about these things collectively is one of those framework policies from 2 years ago, which called for us to initiate a public process and outreach to look at what should be happening in that space over there, as well as Midvale. So that is a part of what we've asked the consultants to look at, ways to connect this space and this facility with that space over there, in view of the fact we have Midvale kind of in between the two. So they've already been brainstorming some ideas. We've been giving some things to think about, and you'll be hearing more about this coming into the fall, the discussion of that design for that space. That's thing one.
Joe?
Yes, sir.
Can you share what the firm is, or is that secret?
I can't, because I don't know that they've we've signed them on yet.
Okay.
But next week I could tell you, I'm sure. Second thing to tell you about is Point Wells. City Council on Monday night is going to have a motion in front of them to file a lawsuit against Snohomish County for the urban center zoning that the county adopted at Point Wells. So recall, we already have an appeal of the county's comprehensive plan designation of Point Wells as an urban center in their plan. So this will be a companion appeal to be filed against them for the zoning. Meanwhile, one of the things that was in the zoning that the county adopted was language that invited interested cities to enter into an interlocal agreement with the county to specify a number of things about how these different urban centers could or should be developed. Shoreline staff has been meeting with Woodway staff for a number of months now on what that interlocal might look like. And we just got the letter this week, I think, from the county, formally inviting the city to initiate discussions with the county about what an interlocal dealing with Point Wells might look like. So we'll be taking them up on that. And it may sound like it's a mixed message. On the one hand, we're suing them. On the other hand, we're saying, thank you for the letter pursuant to the zoning that we're suing you for, which invites us to talk about an interlocal agreement. So the interlocal agreement, depending on what it deals with and how effectively it deals with it, might provide an avenue for us to settle the lawsuits, the two appeals. So we're negotiating, hopefully, from a position of as much strength as we can muster by having them in litigation on their two actions. So that's what's going on with Point Wells. The other thing that's going on with Point Wells is two community meetings have been scheduled by the property owner. Up to this point, the property owner has been Paramount Northwest. It is now Blue Square Real Estate, which is the same people, the same parent firm, just a different arm of that larger company. They're having a community open house up in Edmonds this month, and then there's one in Shoreline on September 23rd at the Shoreline Center. We'll have information about that in Currents. It's on our webpage already. It's on Shoreline Area News. So I think a lot of people who have questions for Blue Square about what it is they're doing will have a chance to go there and ask those questions. They'll meet the architecture team. Apparently it's been retained by Blue Square, and I think they'll share some other ideas about design ideas for Point Wells. And finally, I think I sent a message to you on PlanCom today about the latest good press for the city of Shoreline. Money Magazine's actually on the newsstands right now. We are one of the 100 top places to live in the United States, according to Money Magazine. We took a close look at the 100 places that are listed, and of the 100 places that are listed, we are the youngest city. So we've only been at this for 15 years, and already we're in the top 100, according to Money, as the best place to live. They look at many of the same things that Seattle Magazine looked at, but they also specifically looked at the efficiency of the government providing local services. So we felt pretty good about that. I think that's all I had to tell you.
Thank you. We're at new business. Any new business? Do you have new? Commissioner Behrens?
Hardly, more like a question, I suppose, than really a proposal for new business. And that is, I mean, directed towards the comments and conversation that we heard about the museum. I continue to share Commissioner Broyley's question about exactly what it is we could do. I mean, this is, I think, some pretty major issue here that faces the city and the school board. And I don't know if there's a role for us to play here or not, but do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, the subject of tonight's meeting was the Saberia plan. It does talk about the museum. It does talk about the Ronald Building. It does talk about history. But this won't get to the council as a recommendation until some months from now. I forget who, but somebody pointed out, I think it was Ms. Way, that the existing citywide vision statement already makes mention of these things. So if anybody wants to make the argument, and I expect some people might want to make the argument, that it's acknowledged in the city's official comprehensive plan as having some value to the community, they can make that argument. You could point that out yourselves if you wanted to as individuals. I think the question perhaps you were asking was, could you as a commission do anything? I think you certainly, if you wish to express an opinion, you could by motion just express that opinion to whoever you want to express it to. The school district, the city council, anybody in the room, all the ships at sea, however you want to go about that. I think you could do that, but you know, what weight does that have? What authority do you have? You plainly have no direct control over events there, but you certainly have an opportunity, if you wish to express an opinion.
Okay. Let's move to item 12, reports of committees and commissioners' announcements.
Nothing. Jessica, I noticed on the agenda, just to give you a heads up, I will not be in attendance on the August 19th.
Okay. August 19th?
I noticed that you have planned absences there, so I'll just let you know I won't be here.
Okay, nothing else there. Agenda for August 2nd joint meeting with council. Go ahead.
I think it's a knick-knack somebody.
That's right. It works some of the time. So your next meeting is going to be the second, the joint meeting that was talked about. And at that meeting, the main topic of discussion is going to be concurrency, but also you're going to be discussing the kind of direction for the southeast sub-area and perhaps other parts of the city as well in terms of what kinds of zoning ideas would be appropriate. We talked last time. We talked about using the zoning palette we have today, possible add one or two specific zones or go to something like planned area. So that will be there'll be time for that discussion. And then tonight, of course, you brought up a third item that we'll see if there's time for, to talk about how the council uses your minutes and some of their thoughts on using summary minutes for study sessions. That's August 2nd. August 9th, we're actually going to be talking about a work program with the council. There's some discussion about doing some extra work up in Aldercrest. And in doing so, that would cause other items of the work program to slide, because we only have so many fingers. We only have so many staff members. So that discussion will happen on August 9th.
I can add to that. I think what we as a staff would like to do is to at least talk to the chair and the vice chair about what we might want to take to the council on the 9th to direct traffic on things that are going to be on your agendas for the next 6 months. Some of this you, of course, already know about. You've looked at the agenda planner. Did we go over that tonight?
No, so,
okay, so there are some things that we know are in there, but we have not yet inserted the Aldercrest work. We have not yet inserted the work that will be involved with concurrency and impact fees, discussion you had earlier tonight with Alicia. One of the things that may come out of the interlocal agreement with Point Wells would be a fair amount of staff work dealing with corridor, transportation corridor study that you all recommended as part of the Sebaria plan for Point Wells. So there's a lot of things that will be demands on your time, but there'll also be some things that will be demands on our time that won't show up on your agendas. So to some extent, that also is factored into how quickly some of these other projects we can bring to you, because again, it takes a certain amount of staff time to bring this stuff to you with a recommendation. So it's quite busy. There's a lot going on. I've told the staff to stop the conveyor belt of code amendments. Putting things in boxes now, but unless it's a really, really, really important code amendment, it simply is not as high a priority as the rest of the things that are on this work program. And some of them are things that are controversial. The public will have something they want to say about it. That will take some agenda time for you to deliberate, listen to what they have to say, decide what you want to say. So we're using some discretion when we're coming back with this work program. There's some things we're going to recommend just be punted off, held in abeyance for maybe 6 months. Not banish them, but you used to call this the parking lot. Things that you want to get to, but everything else is more pressing, so you put them in a parking lot and you come to them when there's a little bit of a break in the action of these things that are pretty more labor-intensive for you and for us. Busy time.
Steve, did you say August 9th or something, council?
Yeah, the August 9th council meeting is going to be the meeting where we discuss work program.
Okay.
Your next meeting would be about the 16th. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but actually it would be the 19th.
Okay.
And that's already scheduled out.
Okay.
Oh, the public health lab, I know without looking at the agenda planner, I know that that's on because we're working fast and furiously on putting that together for you. So that will be, again, a public hearing. If somebody comes and wants to talk with you about it. It's quasi-judicial, so you really shouldn't be talking with anyone about that.
Okay, that was it. I think we're ready to adjourn. Okay. Adjourn.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I'm serious.